Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Coming up on this week's episode, a virtual reality producer working with brands like Disney. What is the future of VR? Plus, idioms that are song titles. And why are beer glasses clear? It's because of an idiom. All coming up on The James Rice Show. Hello, my students, and welcome to The James Rice Show. I am the author and series creator of the Study It ESL textbooks that are available on the iBook Store for use with your iPad, iPhone, MacBook, iMac, anything Apple, anything Apple. Now, we have an incredible show for you today, and I'm super, super excited. We have Max Bulatoff with us today. Yes, Max is an immersive industry executive producer working with brands like Disney to bring their vision into the virtual reality headsets. Yeah. Now, last week we had Voila Learning CEO on the show, and I learned so much from him, and I hope you guys get a chance to listen to him. And I really wanted to learn more about virtual reality, and Max is an expert, and he's an expert in the area, and what he will tell you about what is happening in the virtual reality world will blow your mind. I hope it will. It really blew mine. I mean, what they're doing out there, wow, it's amazing. Really, really amazing. And you have to stay tuned for our next segment right after this opening. It's called the Idiom of the Week, if you guys are familiar with the show. And it's awesome because Stephanie, our producer, has really done a great job with this one. Stephanie, just great work. Great work. Stephanie is giving you guys the thumbs up. You guys, this is a good Idiom of the Week. And we're studying songs that use idioms as their titles. Yeah, can you think of any? Can you guys think of any songs that have an idiom as a title? Wow, there's a few out there. And we have them in our Idiom of the Week segment coming up next. And in our Did You Know segment, we're going to explain why beer glasses are clear. Yeah, you know that when you go to the pub, you've got a clear beer glass, or there's a clear pitcher of beer, which is the big, big thing. Why are they always clear? Yeah, yes, well, it's because of an idiom. What? Yes, this is a story you want to listen to and share with your fellow students or teachers in the pub. Yeah, they'll be like, how did you know that? Well, I listened to The James Rice Show. And you can subscribe to The James Rice Show on Apple's podcasts or Android's Stitcher podcast app. And just search for The James Rice Show. Don't forget the, and you'll find my show. The full episodes we release every Monday. And I am based here in Toronto, Canada. And I'm with, of course, our amazing producer, Stephanie, and we are broadcasting in over 60 countries. Stephanie, who are our top five countries this week? Who are our top five listeners? Where are they all from? All right, she's calling it up here. Number one is the U.S. of A., the United States, still number one, going strong in the U.S. Number two is Brazil. Yeah, still strong. Number three, Vietnam. Yeah, and Vietnam, our listeners. Hello to our listeners in Vietnam. You guys are really catching up. You guys are almost number two. Almost number two. So keep sharing the James Rice Show in Vietnam. Number four, our Kiwi friends in New Zealand, still in the top five. Still in the top five. And in fifth place, returning Canada. Welcome back to my family here in Canada. You know, my mom's out of the hospital and moving around again. So, you know, I guess she got that iPad powered on. So welcome back to the top five Canada. Now, I do want to do a quick shout out to Anesh Daya and Judy Thompson. I would like to thank them for organizing the Disruptive Education Conference in Toronto and allowing me a chance to speak about my passion, which is educational technology. Love those mobile devices and in the classrooms. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun listening to the speakers, and I learned so much from everyone. So thanks, Anesh. Thanks, Judy. And based on the conference, we are doing a survey, and we want to hear from you, our listeners, both teachers and students, about your feelings regarding the ESL industry. Now, the survey is on my website, and it's thejamesriceshow.com/survey. You can see it at the top. I will put a link on Facebook and LinkedIn, all the social media stuff. But we really, really like to know what challenges, demands, pressure you're facing in the English language industry. So if you don't mind, please, please take a look and share with us your feelings, because we would really love to hear from you. And hopefully we can try to tackle or, you know, take on some of these problems that you're facing in the ESL industry. Now, we have so much happening in this episode, and I am so excited about our next segment that I want to get to it right away. So coming up after this break, the idiom of the week.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
As many of you know, a great way to learn English is through music. Listening to music, singing music, and hey, writing your own songs. Why not? But did you know that many song titles were actually idioms before they became great songs? Aha! For example, Water Under the Bridge. Water Under the Bridge. Now, this means it's all in the past and it's all forgotten about. For example, we would say, you know, we didn't like each other before, but that's water under the bridge now. And of course, it's a famous song from Adele. Yep, water under the bridge. She used that idiom as the title of her song. Here's another one. Hit the road. Hit the road. Now, this means to leave or to tell a person to leave or go away and never come back. For example, there's two examples. The first one where it's just, you know, I'm going to leave. We say, I'd love to stay longer, but it's really time to hit the road. Or if you want a person to leave and never come back, you could say, man, you are really annoying. Just hit the road. Get out of my office. That was the great Ray Charles. Now, he added Jack to the song there, so there was a rhyme. So he said, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back. So he's using the second meaning of the idiom, which is get out of here, leave me alone, hit the road, Jack. Yeah, there's a movie out there about his life, Ray Charles's life, called Ray. Very, very good film. So check it out if you can. Now, my students, you know I am a big Lady Gaga fan, and having met her twice in Toronto, or, okay, at least, you know, seen her twice. No one ever gets to meet Gaga. She uses the idiom poker face. Yeah, poker face. Now, poker face means that you do not show any feeling on your face. Your face is blank. You don't show what you're thinking or feeling. It's an empty face. Like you're playing poker in Las Vegas. You don't want anyone to know what you're thinking. All right? So, you know, for example sentence, you might say, he can tell a lie with a poker face. Or he can tell a joke with a poker face. So let's hear Gaga. Sorry, my students. I had to stop it there because Stephanie, our producer, is a huge, huge Gaga fan. She's dancing like crazy in the booth. Okay, calm down. Calm down, Stephanie, you Gaga crazy lady. All right, I am beginning to feel like a real DJ here. You know, next one. I Heard It Through the Grapevine by Marvin Gaye. I Heard It Through the Grapevine by Marvin Gaye. Now, I Heard It Through the Grapevine means to hear rumors about something or someone, kind of gossip. I heard it through the grapevine that James got fired? What? Now, I do have a funny story here about this song, I Heard It Through the Grapevine, and this idiom. It was one of the first karaoke songs that I had ever sung. Sing, sang, sung. I was a teenager, and me and my friends made an actual professional karaoke recording of this song. Now, I am a little bit older, and you're like, what? Yeah, in Canada, okay, long ago, before many of you were born, we did not have a karaoke box or a karaoke room or a karaoke club. We had to actually go to a studio, and it was in an amusement park, because that's where all the kids were, and it was kind of a real studio, and we actually recorded that song, and that was my first ever karaoke song. I heard it through the grapevine, and somewhere out there in the world, you can hear me singing as a teenager with my voice changing. Okay, let's do one more, Stephanie, and wrap up this segment. Let's do this one. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Yes, in honor of the new film Bohemian Rhapsody about Queen and Freddie Mercury, Another One Bites the Dust. The idiom bite the dust means to fail or to destroy a car or a motorcycle or a bicycle or to die. Yeah. Now, it's very informal, and you should not use this in any serious situation. Don't call 911. 911, I'm going to bite the dust. No. Don't do that. Okay, this is just, you know, having fun. And actually, we really don't use this expression too much anymore. It has kind of died. I think the song kind of killed this idiom. But if you're going to use it in a sentence, you would say, you know, I'm going to bite the dust if I go skateboarding. But again, not something we use. But it is a famous idiom. And interestingly enough about this song, Another One Bites the Dust, Sylvester Stallone wanted this song to be in Rocky III for his training montage. And he liked the beat so much that he reached out to Queen, who told Rocky, Sylvester Stallone, no way. So Stallone decided to create another song. And that sounds very similar to Another One Bites the Dust. Listen. Yes, Eye of the Tiger. And that is your idiom of the week.
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at Connect with James for fun photos and updates on future episodes. Now it's time for Teacher Talk, James's thoughts and insights into teaching international students.
I'm very happy to welcome to the show Mr. Max Bolotoff. He is the executive producer at Concept VR. That's Concept with a K. He helps to navigate his clients through the virtual reality world and all its possibilities. Welcome to the show, Max.
Thank you, James. It's good to be here.
So can you tell us a little bit about Concept VR?
Absolutely. Concept VR is an immersive studio that specializes in 360 video and VR development. We are based out of New York City. We've been around since 2015 and have over 100 commercial pieces ranging from entertainment to training to education in the VR space.
Now, I know you also have some very big clients. Tell us who you've been working with.
A lot of different clients. Some of our New York-based clients that you might know is Disney Theatrical Group. We recently did a project with them for their new for Aladdin the musical.
Wow!
It was very fun to work with real professionals who get VR, because theater people really get VR. They understand that it's not a 16:9 kind of a video where they have to interact with the entire environment.
Yeah, they're actors, so I guess they understand that interactivity.
Yeah, because it's theater. It's not traditional film. So it was a pleasure working with people like that. Some of our other clients include big brands like Coca-Cola, as well as humanitarian organizations like World Vision. We do a lot of nonprofit work for them and their videos. But we're kind of all over the place. We like creating good content with meaningful stories in VR.
Now, how did you get into the virtual reality business?
I had a photography company before this that also dealt with immersive photography. We did virtual tours. And then late 2014, we kind of decided to take the direction into 360 video And then I joined up with Concept VR and got into video production and been here ever since.
Now, I was doing a little homework and a little research before talking with you, Max. And virtualrealitymarketing.com lists 1,784 virtual reality studios in 72 countries. And that's up from just 99 studios when it was launched in 2015. That's some amazing growth. Now, is Concept VR a VR studio?
I would like to say yes. We're a studio in regard where we take our clients' ideas and help them understand why is it good to do this in VR, or maybe it's not worth it to do this idea in VR in particular. So we coach them through the creative consultation and then do everything from pre-production, production, post-production, and of course, distribution. So kind of an end-to-end package.
This kind of reminds me of the old days where we used to make corporate videos, and now you're making corporate VR videos.
Yeah, you could say that. A lot of our work is branded content, as we like to call it. You could say some of it is very corporate. A lot of it is less corporate. It's more humanitarian or more VR for good is a term that sometimes we like to use. This is when we try to apply VR for really good uses of the medium, not just for, to get a keyword in your press release, if you know what I mean.
Now let's switch over to our field, which is education. Where do you see the uses of VR being used in the education field?
Well, I think the biggest thing that comes to mind that lends itself very well to education, especially in schools, public schools or private schools, would be kind of learning geography and taking students right into the field rather than scheduling a classroom trip and making sure getting all the buses and all the all the chaperones together. I remember when I went to school, and it was a whole big deal to go out to a museum. We would have to get all these approvals, and then finally we're in this Museum of Natural History, exploring it for a day. Imagine doing the same thing with this technology, with a few headsets that people can take turns in the classroom. And you don't need 30 headsets for each kid in the classroom, because you know you're never going to go through you know each individual experience. But a few headsets will allow the teacher to take them to the safari or take them to the moon and really connect them and engage them in a way you know education should be taught, in my opinion. So that's kind of where I see it going immediately once the medium gets a little bit more grounded.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very great point. I mean, teachers, imagine, ESL teachers, imagine what you could do taking your students out on field trips every day. That would be an amazing experience. Now, can you talk to me a little bit about distribution? Because VR doesn't always necessarily mean that you have to wear the goggles, correct?
Yeah, I think my philosophy personally is a VR is a way of consuming the content, right? It is not a platform. It is not a medium, because what we specialize in is 360 video creation. So we create 360 videos by shooting the environment with a camera array or one camera in every direction. And then we edit it all together. We stitch all the footage. And then we could take that video and see it on a screen in a traditional 2D format, or we can upload it to YouTube or Facebook, and we can use our mouse to scroll around in every direction and kind of interact with the environment that way. Or we could take the same piece of content, put it in a headset environment, and what that does is split the screen into two for each of one of your eyes, and that becomes virtual reality, where you don't see anything but the virtual world in front of you, if that makes sense.
So wait, let me get this straight. You're telling me that we can create a virtual world on YouTube right now?
That's correct.
And has Concept VR done this?
Yes, we've teleported people to Cayman Islands when it was blizzarding in New York City. We've done things like that where our clients asked us to basically get them to very remote places where a viewer wouldn't regularly travel to. So that's the power of VR. I call it first steps into teleportation.
And have you done anything in the education field using this idea or concept?
We have had talks with a number of schools and organizations. The one that comes to mind is the most applicable one, I would say, is a project we did for Akron's Children's Hospital in Ohio. And the sponsor for this project ultimately was Goodyear Tires. But the interesting idea that the hospital had, our direct client, is to create a distracting driving video and teach kids in high school and all schools around Ohio about this problem that they're having and what you should pay attention to. And things like that. So we flew out there and did a two-minute piece about the importance of paying attention while you're driving, and don't text and drive, and things like that. And don't let your friends kind of distract you while you're trying to drive. And I think that is the thing that I would mention here, my closest relation to doing something for education in particular. But it's a definitely a powerful piece that they're still using till this day for over a year now, I believe.
And is this video available on YouTube?
Yes, they created a landing page, and I'm happy to share that landing page with you guys. And there's a link to YouTube there as well that you can, all you have to do is have a YouTube app on your phone, or you can watch it on your computer as well.
And you can control this world with your mouse or your finger.
Yeah, whatever you have at your disposal.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's a realistic kind of step forward for virtual reality. I guess my concern is the expense, because the way I see it, VR is not quite there yet, but the goggles, are very expensive.
Yes, the price of entry is a little tough for a lot of brands, and I would say in particularly our educational system. You know, I think private schools might have a better idea of how to raise funds for VR headsets and produce content for it, because there's two kind of pillars the way I see it. There's the content creation, and then there's the distribution. You need the headsets, obviously. So and all of these things cost money right now, and because the medium is developing, it's still pricey for some organizations. And I think that is the main reason why we haven't seen a lot of educations jumping, educational institutions jumping on this opportunity. But I hope we will in the near future.
Yeah, it's still very cost prohibitive for many schools. And, you know, the goggles I've seen on Facebook, the Oculus Rift going for $500, which is very expensive for many schools. Yet there are schools out there with green screen studios, and they use green screen. And so I wonder, what are the costs for, like, cameras and setting up that type of studio system for a school?
Well, some of the costs will almost be impossible to gauge right now, because one of the things that we have to do as a studio in the business since the beginning of VR, I would say, since VR BC, we have to create our own techniques and our own camera systems sometimes. So we take the existing software and we have to apply it to get the shot that our client wants. Because guess what? Nobody has developed this yet. There are no YouTube tutorials on how to create a moving shot from a helicopter, you know, that does not have the helicopter in the shot. Just giving you an example. So at times we have to figure out how to do this. And I feel like for organizations like schools and other establishments, they wouldn't have the bandwidth to have a full R&D team to actually do that. So in a lot of ways, it makes sense to partner up with a company like ours who specializes in solving these issues for our clients.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about what is happening now in education and VR, but where do you see the next 5 to 10 years? Where is VR going?
I think this medium has a lot of potential, as well as its sister medium, I would say, AR, augmented reality. And I know you spoke a little bit about that in your previous podcast as well. And it is a very strong component to learning, I would say, because there's passive learning and there's, you know, active learning, right? It's something where you visually see something and your cortex indexes it better rather than just reading something, for instance. And I think there's studies actually proving that is something that we need to go into.
Absolutely. Students will remember more by doing. For example, if we're doing a restaurant practice in the class, if they're just reading it from a textbook, they're not going to remember it. But if they're out there doing it, and if they can do it in VR, that would help them to remember the vocabulary and the dialogues and the grammar.
So with that said, I think, you know, VR can have potential on evaluating teachers, for instance.
Whoa, that's interesting.
Right. So take it from another perspective, right? Not the pupil's perspective, but how do you hire teachers and get them to perform, let's say, a test classroom, right? Like a 20-minute session where they're being evaluated on if they're a good fit to the school, right? There's all these components where you have to get the kids together, you have to schedule it with the teacher, with all the kids. And then the most important component is, what if the kids are not really being, what if that teacher is not that good, right? Let's assume they're actually getting secondhand education, and it's causing them to, you know, miss out on a good lesson that could have been, right? So VR can show potential that we can supplement that with a whole system that has virtual pupils that will act and misbehave as needed for the teacher to act on them and really perform so they can be assessed.
Wow. Wow. That would really change what a job interview is all about. That really leads us down a whole new path that I don't think many of us have thought about. Now, is there anything that, any projects that you're working on now that you could tell us about?
Yeah, we just wrapped up a project, an important project, I think, to me personally, for Arrow Electronics. And this is a big company that does electronic parts for almost every big phone company in the world. And not a lot of people know about it, but Arrow has a mandate to help humanity with technology. And they created this car that's called the SAM car, S-A-M, all caps. And what this car does is helps paraplegics drive with just their face, because obviously they don't have access to their limbs, some of them. And we filmed a 360 video piece where we follow a crew that helps Buddy, this naval pilot who basically got in a car crash 3-4 years back and became one of these people that used to be a Top Gun pilot, and now he can't really move anything but his face. And the SAM car allowed him to drive with just his face. All the motions and sensors inside the car allowed him to do that. So we told the story in VR and in 360 of how this technology is really helping humanity rather than just, you know, being used for entertainment purposes. So wow. That's something we just launched, and I'm very proud of it. I'll make sure to share it with you. So you could share it with the viewers.
Wow, that is an amazing story, and I wish you success with that project. That's wonderful. Now, you know, one of the things that annoys me, and regular listeners to the James Rice Show know this, I hate it when teachers are banning mobile devices in the classroom. And it really bothers me. And France has banned it completely in their country's education system. And I talk to teachers, and their schools are trying to go no tech, which means no mobile devices in the school. So I wonder, what is your opinion about this?
Well, when I went to school, I think cell phones were just being introduced. This was late 90s. And we were just starting to bring our cell phones, and I think the academic community didn't know what to feel about them, right? They were like, oh, do we ban them? Do we not ban them? But then I think when mobile devices got to a certain point where they were more helpful than distracting, I think my view on it changed drastically. So long story short, I'm with you. I think technology can really help students be proactive and more engaging. But in my opinion, we should limit a certain amount of engagement with their phones, because nobody's going to, you know, stop them from texting at the same time that they're using this amazing app that really helps them to learn. So it's kind of a two-edged sword for me personally. I don't know how to solve it, but I do see the benefit of having tech in school.
Well, I think one of the key starting points for tech is making sure we have digital content available for teachers to use. Getting content is probably the biggest challenge for teachers. And whether it's digital textbooks like the Study It series that we've developed, or, you know, VR content, that is developing that content is important. Now, if a teacher's listening and they're saying, man, I would really like to get started on this VR world and experiment and learn and maybe try to bring some of this VR into my classroom, where would you direct them to go?
Well, there's not a lot of general VR applications that are designed for teachers at the moment, unfortunately. And a lot of the great concepts that I've been talking about is these behind closed doors ideas that we have passion for as content creators and as, you know, tech innovators. We understand where this can go, but if teachers want to go somewhere, I really can't tell you where exactly they need to go other than Google and the App Store and see if they can find something specific to their needs.
How about the new Facebook Spaces?
I've actually have not explored that. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I've know of it. I know that Facebook is very bullish on VR and 360 video, but we tend to focus more on the live action 360 video part of it.
I see.
That I've not dabbled into, you know, social VR, as they call it.
Social VR. I like that. I like that terminology. There'll be education VR, social VR. Now, what do you think the timeline is when VR will become affordable for teachers and schools? Is it going to be 5 years? Is it going to be 10 years?
I think 5 years is a good marker.
Is that
right? 5 years is when we'll have a virtual reality headset pretty much in every household, just as we have TVs now.
Wow, you think so? 5 years?
I think so, because at the moment, there's a lot of people that are already aware of this, and there's specific content for them that draws them in to buy these headsets. A lot of it, I'm not going to lie to you, is gaming. Super engaging. Like, I want to be in this world. I don't want to just be a part of it. I want to be in it. And I think that is what's driving VR as a medium right now, not 360 video aspect of it. But what we're doing, the 360 video aspect of it, really helps tell stories and create empathy machines and create with these very innovative videos. So I think both are helping out. But I want to go back to something you said earlier when you said you tried an Oculus Rift or something like that, and you looked at it and it was about $500 plus you need a computer, right? So Oculus, aka Facebook, launched a new device earlier this year called Oculus Go. This device is only $200 and it does not require a computer at all. So your price of entry is $200 and that's it. You do not need a mobile phone, like, you know, for Google Cardboard. The device comes already preloaded with content, with free stuff that you can explore. So actually, now that I think about it, teachers, this is their first thing that they can dabble in. If they can get their hands on Oculus Go, a headset, which is $200, and I'm sure they can get some budget approved for that for even one school, they can already be exploring some games, some interactive thing in the classroom. For just $200 and nothing else needed.
Oculus Go, teachers. That's where we have to go.
No pun intended, yeah.
I think there may have been pun intended. But no, thank you so much, Max, for coming on to the show. This has been very, very informative.
Yeah, absolutely. It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me, James. And I enjoy your podcast and hope my information will spark some new ideas in the educational world.
And that was Max Bolotoff from Concept VR, a company working with Disney to create Aladdin's virtual reality world. Very cool stuff. And Max is going to be sending along some of those YouTube videos and some other videos maybe to help you guys out, you teachers out, and see what's happening, see what's possible out there. So you'll be able to check our episode page on our website, www.thejamesriceshow.com, and I think it's episode 45, and you'll be able to see what Max has sent us, and you can share that maybe with your students and share it with your administration, share it with your head teachers and say, hey guys, look at what's happening out there in the world, and hopefully we'll get you guys all ed-teched up. And that's Teacher Talk for this week.
Have you downloaded the Study It ESL textbooks yet for your classroom? The Study It textbooks are the first ever digital and interactive textbooks. Once downloaded, Wi-Fi is no longer required. Each book contains video and audio exercises, detailed grammar keynotes, reading and writing assignments, and amazing speaking projects. Grammar, conversation, pronunciation, business English, and listening textbooks are available. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
Welcome to the Did You Know section of the podcast for this week, where we examine why English is so crazy. And English is crazy. Like, why is only the only word we can use in any part of a sentence. Try it. For example, if we say, I love you, only I love you. Or, I only love you. I love only you. I love you only. English is crazy. All right, today we're taking a look at the expression bottoms up, and we're going to discuss the meaning and origin of that expression. Now, bottoms up is used before drinking. You kind of like cheers. You bring your glasses together and you say cheers. But before cheers, the expression was bottoms up. All right, now where did this expression come from? Now, during the 18th and 19th centuries, the English Navy, and a navy is like the army on the sea, you know, and the Air Force is the army in the air. So the English Navy recruiters would force London drinkers that were in pubs that were near the ocean to join the Navy. And if they accepted to join the Navy, they would be paid a shilling. All right, a piece of money. It's like a dollar, I guess, or a quarter or something. A piece of money, and they would be able to join the military. And it was proof. If they accepted the shilling, it was proof that the agreement was made and they had to join the Navy. Now, not every Navy recruiter was honest. So if you were drinking too much in the pub, the dishonest recruiter would drop a shilling into the beer of a heavy drinker. The drunk, of course, would not notice until he finished his beer that there was money at the bottom of the beer. And then that drunk would be taken away and put on a ship far out into the ocean. And then, of course, he would wake up after a night of drinking and be like, why am I on a ship and when did I join the Navy? All right, because, of course, they didn't know. They put the shilling in the bottom of the beer. Now, when the drinkers and the pubs, because the pubs are losing their clients, when they became aware of this scam, they introduced the clear glass. Yeah, the clear glass. Something you see nowadays in a pub or a restaurant when you get a glass of water or a glass of beer, it's usually in a clear glass. You can see through it. And customers were reminded by the pub owners, guys, lift up your beer and check the bottom for a shilling before you start drinking. And that is why we say bottoms up before we start drinking. And now you know.
Have you subscribed to James's newsletter? When you subscribe, you will receive a free Study It ESL textbook. Visit www.thejamesriceshow.com for more information and join today.
Wasn't that an amazing segment with Max? I mean, there's so much happening with virtual reality out there. And, you know, I came across a virtual reality film called Homestay. Mm-hmm. And it is something that if you have a chance to watch it, please, please do. It deals with a true story of a 17-year-old international student from Japan. And his name was Taro Horikoshi. And he lived for 3 years with a Canadian family until, sadly, he took his own life. He committed suicide. And it is something that we do not talk about much, and that's the mental illness factor among international students. And, you know, it's tough, tough to leave your family and come and study abroad and all of that pressure. And the film was directed by Paisley Smith, and she wants to spark some conversations around students' experiences with homestay and families and studying abroad and living abroad, and reflect on that international student experience. And in this VR film, she creates kind of a garden that you interact with things. You know, it's really, we gotta, Stephanie, we have to do something where we we discuss some of these more darker and difficult realities of living and studying abroad. I mean, it's not always sunshine and rainbows, guys, when you're traveling abroad. It is very tough. And maybe in one of the episodes coming up, I'll share some of my stories because, you know, I traveled when I was young and I remember a lot of tough, difficult times away from my family. And of course, I had no internet and I would write a letter and it would take 2 weeks sometimes for them to get back. And while, you know, you might think it's good that you've got the internet and you can interact with your family or with your boyfriend or with your girlfriend, it may not be good because, you know, you are always connected to your family back home, and you feel lonely, you miss them, and you never really feel at home in the country that you're studying abroad. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. So it's good and bad sometimes having the internet with you when you're traveling abroad. I had no internet, and I had to go out there and kind of make friends. But it was tough. It was still very, very difficult. So I hope we'll get into that a bit more. And I hope you guys enjoyed the idiom of the week and the Did You Know section this week. And don't forget to go online to check out that survey we've got. And if you see it up on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, you know, please take a moment to fill it out. We really want to hear from teachers, and we really want to hear from students about those struggles and demands and difficulties that you're having in the English language world that you're living in. So much, much appreciated if you could fill that in and tell us your feelings. All right, guys, we're coming up to the end of the show, and I want to thank you guys for tuning in and your continued support for our little podcast here that is continuing to grow. So it's really nice. It's really nice to see the numbers continuing to grow and people listening and talking and sharing. That's fantastic. And I want to thank everybody. And remember, be crazy.
Thanks for listening to The James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.